Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Game Train podcast. I am Callan Davison and with me is not Carl Smith this week because he's getting vocal surgery. So we hope it all goes well for him and we'll be able to hear his sweet, sweet tones back on the mic soon enough. But instead, I've got a special guest with me this week. I've got Dave Fish Pepper here.
Hello, what it is? How are you doing?
Good, good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's exciting.
Yes, it is exciting because you're the first guest we've had on the show as well. So
what an honor.
Yeah, exactly.
What an honor it is.
So Carl, you're going to have to bring it up for the level next time. Otherwise, you're going to lose your job, mate.
Oh, but he's getting that sweet vocal surgery, so he's going to come back sounding super sexy, right?
Yeah. But he's not going to be able to actually physically talk for a while, and that's 100% true. He has to be dead silent for like a week.
Oh, wow.
Which is hilarious. So I can just say things about him and he can't actually
respond. He can't say anything back. Well, Carl, a speedy recovery.
Yes. All right.
There's a hope there.
So being a guest on the show, I thought you can explain a bit about yourself to the audience.
I am an avid gamer as yourself. Probably not as crazy. Me and you work together, so we pretty much have podcast conversations at work when we should be working, which is always kind of funny. But we're always talking about games, and I really enjoy that because, you know, I enjoy a good game. But I have come from another podcast. I'm part of the Fish and Connoisseur movie podcast because I'm more of a movie guy, but so I don't quite get in as deep to games as you guys do. But when you brought up this opportunity to get into Monster Hunter, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later, I jumped at the opportunity to try and do a different media, and just getting in deep and actually critiquing a game is something I'm excited about doing.
Yes, exactly. And also, actually, I wanted to tell the audience, we're talking about podcasts just then. It was from talking about you with your podcast that led me down the idea of doing this podcast. So,
Yeah, so
there we go. One of the sort of inspirations of Game Train is here this week, people.
Right here, yeah. No, well, it's good to get a bit of a community going as well. As you know, it's other podcasters who usually help us out as well. So it's all good to share the love, man. It's all good to share the love.
All right. Well, let's get right into it with the news. Alright, just a few quick ones this week. Age of Empires Definitive Edition is coming out February 20, so this is the HD remaster of the original Age of Empires coming to PC.
Ooh.
So, one of my old-time favorite RTS games.
I was just thinking about Age of Empires the other day, actually. That's pretty cool. Is it only on PC?
Only on PC at the moment. So, yeah, I would have liked to see it come to console, but
yeah, I'm a console man. I don't really have PC stuff.
Another release date, God of War is coming April 20 to PlayStation 4. So, get on that.
Yeah, I'm keen.
I am super keen on that.
The other ones were great. I think we were talking about the other day. I just the cinematic feel of the God of War games is something I'm super keen to see what they do with this new version.
Yep. Actually, that's the same day as the Labo comes out. So I think Carl said he's more keen for Labo than God of War. So he can enjoy his cardboard fishing rod and I'll enjoy God of War. All right. And also, Nintendo is closing its mobile Miitomo game on May 9. So any of those Miitomo fans out there, the game's closing on May 9. I've never played the game. So.
I don't even know what it is.
And also to finish up the news this week, Games with Gold is going to be, for the month of February, is going to be Shadow Warrior and Assassin's Creed Chronicles India on the Xbox One, and Split Second and Crazy Taxi on the Xbox 360.
Crazy Taxi?
Yep. Free Crazy Taxi for everyone that has Xbox Live.
Is that like the old game? Like the,
yes.
Like the PS2's era?
Well, yeah, because they did a version on the Xbox 360, but yeah.
Oh, it was. Was it any good? Like, I remember playing that a lot on PS2.
I think it was just like one of those remakes, remasters along the way, yeah. So
that's cool. That's free. Get on it.
Yeah, that's free. Exactly. Nice. All right. And that's the news. right. So on to the games we have been playing this week. What have you been playing, Fish?
Oh, man. I have been getting deep into the Batman Telltale series. Have you ever played any of these Telltale series?
I played the Game of Thrones one.
Oh, yeah. Any good?
It was all right. I played the first episode of that.
Yeah.
And The Walking Dead.
I've heard that one's really good.
Yep.
I've got a lot of friends who played those ones. Well, I've got on the Batman one. I didn't realize it was actually on the PS Plus this month.
Yeah.
And I'm actually playing a version, like the disc that I bought like a year ago. And I've got onto it because the new season is out. And I thought, man, I really need to get on this. And it's actually come at a really good time because the Telltale games are very much what just like interactive stories, right? So yep. It's not so much playing a game per se, and I've been kind of in that sort of space at the moment. I went to play, you know, like The Last of Us, and we were just talking about Arkham Knight the other day, trying to get back on Arkham Knight, and and it's I don't really feel like playing the game. I want the story, you know. So I've really enjoyed this Batman story, and it's a really cool twist on the Batman universe. There's a few different takes that they do on it. So yeah, I've really been enjoying it, and they've just released the latest episode for the new season. So I'm sort of making my way through that at the moment. How about you? What have you been playing?
I got right into Forza Horizon 3, which came out in 2016.
Is that the one where you could play in Gold Coast?
Yes,
driving Gold Coast. Yeah.
It's the Australian one, and I just fell in love with this game. It was so good. I rolled credits on it the other day on the base game. So there is also two DLC packs, Blizzard Mountain and Hot Wheels. And I'm really excited.
Hot Wheels.
I'm really excited for the Hot Wheels game.
Awesome.
I was just waiting until I got through the base game first before going to the DLC.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot to do in this game. Like, it's a big open world racing game set in Australia. So you got
the whole thing set in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, so it's cool. Based off this of famous places in Australia melded into this crazy map. So you've got the Gold Coast, you've got Byron Bay, you've got the Yarra Valley, you've got the Outback.
That's
all
awesome.
Sort of molded into this open world racing game. And, you know, everyone's driving on the left hand side. We've got the Australian, you know, speed limit signs and all
cool.
that going. It's so much fun and I really enjoyed it. It's like, it felt like a really solid arcade racer rather than a sim, but there was just so much to do and it's just a beautiful looking game. It just recently got the 4K update for the Xbox One X and it just looks absolutely superb and it was so much fun. And I just sat there for just days. I played a heap with Carl as well. You can play through the campaign in co-op as well. So do all the campaign races together and just race around together.
That's cool. Is it a jump in, jump out sort of thing as well?
Yeah, cool. So Carl would just jump in with me, have a few races and go or whatever. Or, you know, I'd go and then come back and would have a few more races. It was, a lot of fun.
Man, I've always wanted to play the Forza games, but I don't have Xbox. I've never had an Xbox. Although I am considering the Xbox because of the, it plays those new 4K Blu-rays, which you were telling me the other day, and which for some reason PlayStation's not doing. What the hell?
Like, it's strange. Like, it's actually the Xbox One X is actually a really cheap 4K Blu-ray.
That's what I've seen. Yeah, so that's why I was like, well, man, if I'm gonna get one, I may as well get one that can play games, and then I can finally play Forza because I've heard it's kind of the Gran Turismo of Xbox.
Yeah,
Is it not as simmy though? Is that what you were just saying?
Forza Motorsport is the simmy version. So,
that's different. Okay, right.
Forza 7 recently launched in October last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so that's your very Gran Turismo style one, while Horizon is this sort of more arcadey style. So they sort of alternate years. So we are expecting Forza Horizon 4 to launch this year at the end of the year.
Okay, right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, just quickly speaking about Gran Turismo, have you seen that there has been a bit of an update? Because, you know, I'm a huge Gran Turismo fan. Like, I'm still playing that. That's probably the other game I've been playing at the moment. You can finally do the Sunday Cup. They have the races back. Because I remember you guys were talking about Gran Turismo and how it is just not... It's a shell of the game that it could be, right?
Like, yes.
And they've finally done an update where all those races are back.
Yeah, because one of my biggest complaints was there was no real career mode. It was just do your licenses.
Yep.
Training races.
You could do the tracks.
And race online. And that was kind of it. And it was really disappointing. Jumping into something like Forza Horizon, there's a huge career mode in it.
And that's what it's all about. And I was really surprised that they left it out, but they have made up for it. It is there. So if you feel inclined to do the Sunday Cup and work your way up the ranks there, you can do it. It's not probably as good as it could be. It's basically just a bunch of races and you get gold in them.
Yep.
You don't. It's not like the old ones. Remember you used to have to race them one after the other sort of thing. It's like you go into a, like say the Sunday Cup, you go into it and you would do the three or four races and in progression.
Yeah.
Now it's like you can go do one race and then you can do the last race if you want. It's just pick and choose. So it's kind of like an arcade thing.
Okay.
But at least they're trying.
See, what I remember from the old Gran Turismo games is that you'd start off and you'd go for your B license and you'd have to do 10 things. Once you complete that, you're allowed to race a B standard car.
Yeah, that's it.
And you'd do those races and then you'd get to do like the A license. So then you'd have to go through that. And I really like that slow progression and build up.
While it
feels like with the latest Gran Turismo, I just sort of dropped all that and just do what you want.
Well, man, you know, you get all those free cars. I remember getting a like a supercar straight up, and I'm like, I want to work up from the Honda Civic to this one. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But, you want that car progression. Anyway, another game I finished, which I started last year, which was I Am Setsuna, which is an RPG, borrowing a lot of elements from old school RPGs like Final Fantasy VI, etc. Chrono Trigger.
Turn-based.
Yes!
Love turn-based stuff.
Yeah, I finished it. You know, it's about 20-something hours long.
Yeah.
It was good. It wasn't great. Mm-hmm. I'll say it was good.
What's kind of the concept? What's the idea behind it?
The story?
Yeah.
So you are tasked with guiding this this person named Setsuna, and she is a sacrifice in that every few years someone is sacrificed to the monsters to stop the monsters from invading all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she is this sacrifice this time, and you're supposed to guide her to the Lost Lands to sacrifice her, pretty much.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. And it goes on, and actually the ending was really, really good. Mm. One thing I didn't like about the game, it was set in winter and it's snow everywhere and it's snow the entire game. Like you're not going into like a nice green forest.
Different areas,
no, you're in a snowy forest. You're in an ice cave. You're on an icy mountain. Like by the end of it, it got a bit much. But then
did it leave you feeling cold?
A little. But then following that, why I went through and pushed through this game is that by the same company, they've released another RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a sequel, but it's kind of set in the same universe. It's called Lost Sphere. And this one's set in the summertime. There's a lot of green.
Gives you something different. Yeah.
So I've just started that. And this one is to do with that people have started forgetting places and places have disappeared around the world, and you've got to go out and restore these memories and restore these places through memories. So again, it's the same turn-based kind of style. It's got a lot of elements from Setsuna, but it's got some new ones. Like rather than three players, you've now got four on your team, which is nice. Because in Setsuna, I kept running with my main guy, Setsuna, and one other, and I didn't really feel like there was much room to maneuver with that. While in this one, you've got four on your team, and you can there's placement in battle this time. While in Setsuna, you're just still in this. You can actually choose which side of the monsters you're going to attack from, which changes certain things in the battle. So yeah, there's some good updates with that. So I'm looking forward to pushing further through that. And it was so nice to see green instead of snow everywhere. Yeah. It was so refreshing.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what are you playing that on?
I played Setsuna and also now Lost Sphere on the Switch.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, but Switch games. Yeah.
They are also on PS4.
Okay.
For those inclined that want to do it that way. Also, one other thing. It's not something I've been playing, but I sat down and watched a documentary the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I bring this up because it was a video game documentary called Nintendo Quest.
Oh, that sounds fitting.
And, yeah, a friend messaged me about it and said, oh, you might be interested in this. And when I heard the premise of it, I was like, yep, and checked it out straight away. So the premise is a Canadian named Jay Bartlett, his friend sort of gave him a challenge to collect all 678 Nintendo Entertainment System games in 30 days without using the internet. So he couldn't just go onto eBay and buy all the games.
I was just going to say, yeah, just go find 600
yeah.
Nintendo. So what, he has to go into stores?
Yeah, he has to go into stores and he visits other collectors and things like that. So it has him going to secondhand stores trying to find all these games, and he's trying to bargain down prices because he's got a limited budget to buy all the games as well.
Is that part of the deal? Like, it has to be under this much?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
30 days. So, he starts off in Canada and then goes into America, etc. to try and...
30 days.
Track down all these games. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, where did you watch that? That sounds great.
So, that was on Amazon Prime. So
Amazon Prime.
For anyone that wants to watch this, jump on there and get the 1 or 2 week free trial. That's all I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Jump on there and watch the doco. It goes for about... 80 minutes or so.
Nintendo Quest. Yeah, I want to watch that.
Nintendo Quest. It's really, really good doco.
Mad challenge. Far out.
Oh, yeah. It was like... And some of the rarity of the games, and then...
I was going to say, there'd be some that are just near on impossible to get even on the internet.
Well, there's this one called Stadium Events, which is super, super rare. And this...
Stadium Events.
This cart sells for thousands and thousands of dollars.
So what was his budget?
He never said what his actual budget was.
Okay,
there's like a energy meter in the corner throughout the
thing. Cool.
So there's a counter throughout the whole show down in the corner showing how many games he's on.
Yeah.
And there is like an energy bar with how much like his budget is, and it slowly goes down throughout,
that's great.
Throughout the cool journey. Touch. So it's a really, really good doco. So go check it out if you're looking for something to watch on video games.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I don't really watch many docos. We were talking about this the other day, actually. I'm a movie guy. I watch a lot of movies, but I don't really go out of my way to watch docos unless it's something that I'm interested in, and this is definitely something. So I always find I have a good time with them, though.
All right, okay. So on to the shout-out for this week. Little shout out goes to Bitstorm. Now, I've shouted out these guys before.
Bitstorm.
This is duo of Ben Slinger and Trevor Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they use a random word generator to come up with just crazy ideas for video games. So they'll have like, they'll both have a random word generator there and get one word each. And then they've got to work out a video game from that. So I actually went on the show.
Oh, cool.
And
yeah.
Have recorded an episode with them.
Yeah.
So there was the three of us, so we had three words per game sort of thing. So, yeah, if you guys want to check that out, check out Bitstorm. The episode will be up on Monday, the 5th of February.
Yeah.
I'll be linking it on the Game Train Facebook page for anyone that wants to check it out. But, yeah, you can find these guys on iTunes and all major sort of podcast search engines and... Go check it out, because it's quite a lot of fun, and it's actually quite difficult to do when you're in the moment.
Oh,
like, you go, oh, yeah, that'll be easy, I can make up anything. But you get the most random words, like, oh, I think one of ours in this episode was, like, Bugle, and then there was, I don't know, and we came up with this crazy game to do with this Bugle. And
wasn't the Daily Bugle Sim from Spider-Man?
Well, we ended up calling the game Buglecraft, and it was to do with using, like, a bugle to... guide like your army around the field and fight other armies using your bugle. One of the games. So we do several games throughout the episode, but yeah, it was quite a lot of fun. So Bitstorm, go check it out.
Sounds like a good time.
Would you like to shout out your own podcast again?
Oh, guys, you need to go and check out the Fish and Connoisseur Movie Podcast. It is just stellar. We're about to review the next 50 Shades of Grey film. So, you know, things are getting crazy over at the Fish and Con. Funnily enough, I think it's our listeners, man. They hate us. They tend to get more involved when we review stupid movies, like usually chick flicks.
Yeah.
But every time we've done a 50 Shades of Grey film, it's just gone off. So we're finally that franchise is ending, thank God, because it puts me and Connor through hell every time we do. But it is always fun. So that one will be coming up in the next week or so. I think the film comes out next week. So yeah, have a look.
Cool. All right. Now on to the review game this week, which is Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter World.
Alright, Monster Hunter World, developed and published by Capcom. It's a long-running series, been running for many years on different systems from the Nintendo Wii onto the 3DS. So I reviewed this on the PlayStation 4 version on my PlayStation Pro on, using a 4K TV. So that's where my review is coming from. Mm-hmm. And yours was...
just standard PS4 on a 1080 TV.
Right. Because this is something new that Carl and I are bringing, because there's so many different ways of playing games. And you can go on the Pro or the Xbox One X or a 4K TV or not a 4K TV. So we thought we'd start telling people what we're reviewing it on, because the graphics can be slightly better. Frame rates can now be slightly better on things. So we thought we'd bring it up, quickly just go over the premise of the game. And this game is Monster Hunter World, pretty much... premise of the game, it's an action RPG and you're hunting monsters. Story follows that you're heading to a place called the New World, where there are a bunch of other hunters already sort of stationed, which have been researching and hunting monsters for a while. And a monster called the Elder Dragon is doing a crossing and across there, and people are trying to figure out why this Elder Dragon is heading out into the New World. Mm. And that's... pretty much where the story takes off.
I really like this concept. I really like the... It's very colonial, sort of. You know, it feels like we're going to America or we're going to Australia. You know, it's like finding this new continent, and there's something exciting about that. And now, I've never really played the Monster Hunter games much, so I didn't really know what to expect.
Neither had I. Like, before this, I'd played a 10-minute demo of Monster Hunter World at PAX, where it legit... throws you straight into the forest and goes, go hunt. And I was like, I don't know what's happening.
What do I hunt? So How?
It was so nice to start this from the start and learn the game, because there was a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And because my first impression on that demo, I didn't really enjoy it because I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm.
You're given 14 different weapons. You're given all these, in a 10-minute demo, I'm like, what do I use?
Well, you need context, don't you?
Yeah.
And it takes a fair while to get this game going. It's what I want to talk about straight off the bat. You got to go through an extensive character creation thing, which seems to be the staple of a lot of RPG things these days, is we've got to make our own character, and it's got to be you as an avatar almost. But how did you feel about where do you stand on character creation things?
I enjoy it. I always feel like there has to be beards in a game, or I'm going to be annoyed. I've said it in the past. If there is no beard in the game, now what was it? There was a game where I couldn't make beards, and I was really annoyed.
Just throw it out. It's not worth it.
Yeah. But you could find beards for your character later on in the game, and it was kind of redeemed itself that way.
You had to grow the beard.
Yeah. So I could put a beard on my guy, but then, it was fine. I made my normal sort of looking avatar that I kind of do in a lot of games.
I made a chick this time. I want a girl. I'm a little girl with a pixie cut. I wanted to just make someone tiny that I could have a zippy little thing, because from what I'd seen of the game, it was you're flying through the air, and it's a lot of, action moves and stuff. And I don't know. I always play as a dude. Let's change it up. But I'm kind of over character creations, I've got to say. I don't have a lot of time to play games these days. I'm doing a lot of things, and when I play a game, I want to be able to just get into it.
Yep.
And this, it takes a good half an hour to an hour to, if you want to do it properly, I kind of halved my, just half after through it and went and did, a lot of template stuff, and then just change the color of hair or something like that here and there. And then I was like, okay, sweet, I'm finally done my character. And then I had to do a cat as well. What are they called? The little cat creatures?
Palico?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, now I've got to do this as well. And I'm like, I just want to play the game.
I kind of enjoyed doing the cat though. I made mine blue.
So did I. Yeah, dark blue.
A navy blue cat.
Yeah, same.
with white on him too. I don't know. I just sort of worked and... You can make this little Pelico. You can make him short-haired, long-haired, different eyes. I gave him like his aqua eyes.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed it. Like, he's like your little sidekick companion.
And he does. He's cool in the end. He helps you a lot.
And you can put armor in him. Like,
yeah. Like, I will say that it is a good character creation setup they've got going on.
It's very thorough.
Yeah. If you want to, you can go super deep. And I just didn't want to. And that's where I'm kind of standing. But the I really like the opening scene to the game as well. And this, a lot of the time, an opening scene to a game will set the tone. Well, it, obviously, anyway. But it sent me back to, like, you know, your Uncharteds and things like that, where you just dropped into the action. Like, your boat crashes. You're like, you're crawling up thing as all these dragon things are flying around you. The elder dragon's walking around. I'm just like, okay, I'm ready. Like, once that kicked in, I was so keen.
And then it just dropped you in the forest, and it's like, all right, now you got to get to the camp that everyone set up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh gosh, what do I do? What's if someone comes and attacks me?
Like, there's monsters. Am I supposed to, like, you know, those big, first things first, dinosaurs. You know me, my favorite movie of all time is Jurassic Park. I'm wearing a Jurassic World shirt right now. I love dinosaurs. And to walk in and have these basically hybrid dinosaurs, I was losing my mind. I was like, this is best thing ever. And it's a beautiful forest. Like, it's a really nice setting. I think this game is very pretty in terms of that. And it takes your breath away straight away. There's these creatures and the woods, like, are just full of life.
Yeah.
Like, there's little things running around.
Yeah, you can grab insects and mine for things and grab, like, leaves and herbs and things. And then you can get a little tiny capture net to capture, like, lizards. Or you can go fishing as well if you want.
I still haven't figured out the fishing
thing. Oh, fishing was really easy. You just dropped a line in. And
where do you get the fishing rod, though?
You should have it on your character. Or,
oh, is it already there? Okay.
Or there is a guy that gives a quest to teach you how to catch your first fish.
I took that quest, but I didn't quite go down that route.
Okay.
I know you love fishing.
Yeah. As soon as I was like, oh my gosh, drop the line in, trying to catch fish. Actually, funnily enough, Lost Sphere that I talked about before, it's got fishing in that too, so yes. All right, anyway, back to Monster Hunter though, yes. Fishing is in this game, so you can collect different fish. But yeah, let's talk about the monsters, because Monster Hunter...
It's Monster Hunter.
You see, you know, some are like dinosaurs, which is true. There's one that's like very T-Rex-like.
Mm-hmm. And he's terrifying.
It was very, very cool. He can also breathe fire, though, which is even more terrifying, which I found that out the hard way.
I love the monsters. You know, for the selling point of this game, these monsters are fantastic. They look great. They're giant, which is incredibly intimidating when you first come in. Like, you were talking about when you first start the game, you're just walking past the herbivore looking things and they're huge and you're like, oh man. And then you're fighting this giant T-Rex. And even before you have to fight the T-Rex is, you know, being a pain in your butt and chasing you down while you're trying to hunt other things. And then they fight each other and it's like, what? It's just mind-blowing how cool these dinosaur monster looks.
They move great. And there's, you know, there's probably 30 plus different types of monsters in this, maybe.
Yeah.
There are a lot of variety of different monsters that you can go out and hunt, and each have their own strengths and weaknesses. So there are some electric ones, there's some frost ones which slow you down, other ones will poison you. So you got to come up with like the right sort of resistance against them and use the right sort of tools against those monsters to beat them. And, well, I guess the weapons as well come into it too. The weapons, like I said before, there's 14 different types of weapons.
And you start with them. You start with 14 different weapons.
Yep, and the game's like, you know, here's a bunch of weapons, here's a training area, go check out the weapons, so you can have a practice and see what you like, and go on from there. So you've got, like, dual blades, you've got long swords, you've got buster swords, you've got...
Buster sword!
You've got a bow and arrow, you've got a bow gun, you've got axes, you've got lances and shields, variety for everyone.
It's pretty cool. Like, I was quite impressed by the fact that not only can you have 14 weapons, you can go to either one of them at any time. You know, it's not like something you have to pick a weapon and then eventually you might have to buy more weapons. You start with all these weapons and you upgrade whatever you think you want.
Yeah, throughout the game you get materials from monsters, mineral nodes, whatever, and then you use that to upgrade the different weapons down different paths and add different elements to them.
Yeah, yeah. So you can have an electrical element, you can have a fire element, you know, the steam mill.
Exactly. And when I first started, I tried the jewel knives.
Yeah, I went there too.
That was fun, very quick. And then I tried the Buster Sword, and you know what? I didn't like it.
I'm torn on the Buster Sword because Final Fantasy VII is my favorite game of all time. So Cloud from that, you know, and his Buster Sword, one of my favorite characters and weapons of all time. So I was like, I gotta give the Buster Sword a go. But it's so damn slow.
It's way too slow because so many monsters move so quick.
That's the thing, yeah. It's...
And you'd be going to swing it. And you'd be like, yeah, come on. And it dodges and you're like, wasted that swing. And then the monster counters you.
Yeah. So, but when you hit them, you hit them. Oh, like, it's a big hit.
It hits hard. But I felt for a lot of the fights, it was just a bit too slow and a bit too clunky.
Yeah.
So I switched over to the longsword. Doesn't do quite as much damage, but it's got a lot more finesse to it. And it's a lot quicker. And I felt that was my go-to one. Mm-hmm. But now, I'm quite near the end of the game now. Mm-hmm. I've now switched over to the bow, actually. Because I like now to keep range between me and the monsters. And just dodge and just move. Because the monsters start to hit very hard later in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made...
Keep some distance.
Yep, keep that distance. Keep the hits down on me. And, yeah, just fight that style instead.
I tried the bow gun. I haven't tried the bow, but I tried the bow gun. And I was fighting the weird feather looking dragon thing that flies around and does things. And I thought this will be a good one to, you know, keep some distance. And then you hit it for like one each time. And it's just a saga. Like I just couldn't get through. So my go-to actually is now the double-ended blade with the insect thing. Cause my strategy is you shoot this in, like, you've got this insect, like this giant scarab beetle looking thing on your, I don't know what you call, like your gauntlet on your wrist, and you shoot that off and it can go and annoy the monsters or distract them or whatever. It can hurt them a little bit and can poison them and stuff like that. So what I'll usually do is shoot that and it goes in and it distracts the monster and I come in from behind and start slicing it up on the tail or on its weak point on its head or whatever. But I found that's the one that I've been able to get the most success with because you get decent amount of hits if you can get a good combo going. But you still have that finesse to be able to dodge the hell out of the way when that T-Rex blows that fire at you, you know?
Well, let's talk a bit more about fighting these monsters. Now, the monsters are big.
Yeah.
They've also got massive health pools, like huge. And I'm not talking about like a 5-minute fight here.
Man.
I'm talking about 20-minute fights. And that's you going toe-to-toe with this thing for like 20 minutes. The longest fight I've had in this game, when I went the bow gun of all things, which was useless, went for about 38 minutes.
Dude, that's a quick fight. To me, I tried the bow gun and I ran out of time.
I ran out of time.
There is a time limit on your fights here. You have 50 minutes. I don't know if it changes as you go further into the game.
There are some that's less. So there are some challenge fights, which are like 15 minutes, etc. Yeah, right.
But so you have a limit of 50 minutes. And that should be fine. But as you said, these animals, these monsters, can take a beating.
Yep.
And especially when you're only hitting it with one hit point every time, it can take a long time. And I'm sure I had this thing on the rope. So I was fighting the fly dragon. I can't remember what it's called, like a peri-peri or something. The one...
The poison one?
Peri-peri.
Peri-peri chicken.
Pukapaka, whatever it is. Anyway, I'm shooting it. I'm like, I've nearly got this thing dead. And then the time ran out. And I'm like, I've just wasted 50 minutes. Like, I just said before, I don't have a lot of time to play games.
Yep.
So to actually just... For it actually to just end, and I have to start again, is outrageous. I don't know why there's a time limit. But, you know... I came back with the lance, not the lance, the double-ended thing, and I killed it pretty quickly. I think I did it in 20 minutes. But it was just really frustrating that it took... It was just really frustrating that it took that long. And you can't... is there any way to, like, see their health?
that's something I've got a big problem with in this game, because I've been in some really long fights and you're in there for like 20 plus minutes. And it's like, come on, I'm getting weaker as well. I'm running out of health potions.
Yeah.
It's like, do I keep pushing this thing? Do I back off a bit? The only way to know is how much health a monster really has is watching its movements.
Yeah, if it starts limping.
If it starts limping or if it starts breathing heavily, etc., it's getting weaker. Other than that, you don't know how much health this thing has left. And it is a pain in the ass.
It's so frustrating. Like like I said, there's been a few times where I've thought I've had them on the ropes and then I'm gone for another 20 minutes. Oh my God. And you know, like the fights are cool. Like the fighting is pretty fluent and it's pretty fun for a 5-minute fight.
Yes.
But it gets into button mashing territory for me once I'm hitting over 20 minutes, it's getting too long.
Yeah.
And I'm done. I'm like...
Yeah, I just felt they were just a bit too long. I feel like they should almost half the length of the fights.
I agree. Yeah.
And it would be a lot smoother sort of experience. Like 38 minutes the one I did was just mind blowing. Like, and I've had it too when I've been in a fight for like 30 minutes and I've died and that's it.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
And I just stare at the screen. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just wasted
start again. Yeah.
30 minutes on that one fight. Okay, the fights are hard too, especially as you get further in the game. Now, a game like Dark Souls is a very hard game, but the fights in that maximum about 5 minutes, maximum, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Right? You die...
See, I've always avoided those things.
You die and you're like, all right, I'll go back in. But when you waste 30 minutes fighting one monster and then you die, and it's like...
I have to at least do that again.
I've got to now go back and do that again. You're kidding me. And then... Yeah, just things like that just felt really, really frustrating.
Well, I've wondered if it would be easier playing with other people. Now, I know this game has been made to be played online. Like, it feels almost like an MMORPG, whatever you call those things. But I found it really hard to actually get into another game with other people.
Okay.
And I know you were talking about it earlier that you've been able to do it, but I've thought, like, because you obviously have played with other people, right? So does it make the battles easier? Like, does it make it faster? Like,
So you can have up to 4 players in a group, so you can answer SOS calls, which is pretty much silent and saying help.
Yeah.
It lists it in this big list and you can go, oh yeah, I want to go fight that monster for those materials. So you jump in there and help them out. Or you can also shoot off your own SOS flare. So I've done it both ways. Mm-hmm. Had people jump in my games. I've jumped into other people's. I've been jumping into people's more and more as I've gotten further in the game because the monsters are getting harder. Now, it's actually really not too bad when you've got 4 people running around. That's great, you know. But when you've got 2, there's something off with the number balancing, I feel. That when it's just 2 people... feels like there's just too much health for just 2 guys, whereas...
For the monster?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so the monster gets harder
the more people, but it feels like the numbers haven't been balanced in the right sort of way, that 2, it feels harder, but 4, it feels way easier.
Yeah.
But that's probably a lot to do with the monster gets distracted by other people.
Yeah, well, see, that's your little cat thing distracts the monster and you're able to do, like, distraction is the name of the game in this one, and that's why I've thought it would be a lot better to play as a group. And I have tried, don't get me wrong, like, because I wanted to get the whole feel of this game, and obviously this is a big part of the game because I don't remember that ever being a thing in the old ones. But I was able to get into games, but I couldn't get anybody to come on a quest with me. I sent out SOSs and I kept trying to respond to some as well, and my internet would glitch out or something. So I've never actually gone on a quest with somebody else.
Right.
And I feel like I'm missing a big chunk of the game because of that. And that's why I wondered if it made the fights easier or faster.
Yeah, it definitely makes them easier. They're still very long fights. And as I said, I've been going on a lot of multiplayer ones now because the fights are getting hard. But last night... I got stuck for hours because I couldn't find a group to jump into and no one would jump into my game on this one particular monster that I had to fight to progress the story.
I
had to do it.
Yeah.
And so I spent hours just jumping into people's games, grinding materials to get myself stronger to be able to take this thing down. And I eventually did. I had several attempts. He killed me multiple times, this one monster.
Mm-hmm.
It was very frustrating. It felt great when I did it. But it was like, did it really have to be that brutally hard by myself to do this fight?
Yeah.
Like,
it's... Look, I'm not going to lie. This game gets frustrating. Like, I'm a bit ashamed to say it, but, you know, I feel like the listeners need to know. I threw a controller.
Oh, wow.
I threw a controller. I haven't thrown a controller since playing WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, wow.
On the Nintendo 64. I just couldn't beat Road Dogg back in the day. Yeah. But I was fighting, I think it was one of the big rock monsters that rolls around in the mud.
Yes.
Is it
Baroth?
Baroth or something. Yeah. Really cool monster. Like, yeah. A great looking, and it was a good fight. But I got to about 30 minutes in, and the same thing, and I died.
Yep.
And I just lost it. I was just like, I can't believe this. I've just wasted. And it was really late. I tried to, you know, because I know you guys put in so many hours into your games. I was like, I need to try and step my game up here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I went and got a Red Bull. I stayed up all the night that it came out and like played this, and it was about 3 a.m. and I was like high on Red Bull, but super tired at the same time and frustrated from all these other fights. And then this thing beat me and the controller went flying. And it's fine. The controller's okay. Yeah. I've nursed it back to health and it's gone on to fight many more monsters. But yeah, man, this game is frustrating. I haven't played a game as frustrating as this in a long time.
I swore a lot at the TV. I'm not throwing anything. Like,
a lot of that.
The one I got stuck on, I swore at several times because my Pelico can heal me at certain times.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
And he'd go, hey, here comes your healing. When I'm at full health, I'm like, what are you doing? Or I'll get hit once and then he'll stand there. I'm like, dude, just stop. And then other times I'm like almost dead. I'm like, dude, I need that heal. And then just as the monster's tail comes along and just cracks me one,
yep.
He goes, here's your healing. I'm like, I'm already dead,
oh, thanks,
dude.
Man. Yeah. Oh. I found the worst was when I've just used my last mega potion and then he hits me with one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, come on.
Mine's called Judd. I'm like, Judd, what are you doing? What are you doing, Judd? But yeah, I've got another frustrating thing is... and I think this is something they've put into the game, this one, and they made a big deal about this feature, is that the monsters can run off to other areas on the map.
Oh, that's so annoying.
But it's like, every fight this happens, so it's like,
and it does it several times.
Yeah, it's like, alright, I'm fighting a monster, and the monster goes, ha, I'm gonna run. And the monster just runs off, and then you got to chase the monster across the map. And it goes, I'm gonna run again. And this happens like 3 times.
Yeah.
Every fight.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying. It's like, I just want
to smash it.
Yep. And then the monster can get back to its nest and start healing. And then if you get lost trying to get back because some fly, so they take the nice shortcut, you're climbing up all these things around the map trying to make your way around to this monster. He's healed back up some of his health. You're like, great, now I've got another 10 minutes in.
That's exactly it. So frustrating.
Or while you're running back to that monster, another monster sees you and he chases you. And you're like, dude, just go away. I'm trying to chase him now. I don't care about you.
I ain't got beef with you, man.
Yeah, and then he jumps into the fight. And then I had this one where I got stuck. There was 3 monsters all just running around. I'm like, just stop. I'm trying to fight the hard thing. And I've got this one guy freaking... making everyone like sort of paralyzed, and this other one's trying to freeze everyone, and this other thing's shooting fire. I'm like, nah, this is just no, just stop all of you, please. Yeah. I don't mind the chasing the element every now and then, but when it happens every fight, you're like, cool,
it
Nate.
It feels very periodic. It doesn't feel natural the way they run away. It's like all of a sudden they're just like, oh nah. I feel like when it's nearly dead, it should be running away. You know what I mean? And it goes to try and heal up a bit, which maybe is what's happening. But I feel like...
That does happen. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of the other time, it feels like it's programmed on certain percentages.
It does. Yeah, it's like it's got to a certain place in its health or the time limit or whatever. And it's like, you know what? No, I got to run so you can see another part of the map.
That's right. That's exactly right. So yeah, that's one of those really just annoying little... intricacies about the game where these really long fights with these monsters that just decide to up and run on you.
And you also have to keep sharpening your blade as well, which sometimes it's okay when they run away because it gives you time to do that.
Yep.
But I found like when I'm mashing
and
all of a sudden I'm making these really weak hits, it's because I have to go sharpen the thing, and then you try to go and hide somewhere and the T-Rex comes and blows fire at you again.
Yep.
It's like...
I also felt like this game, as you progress, turns into a bit of a grind.
Yeah.
And now I get it, grinds for endgame content and, you know, after credits things. But when I'm progressing through the story, I don't want to have to grind for materials for 7 hours to upgrade myself.
Yeah.
To be able to to be able to progress the story. The story is a lot. It's a long single player experience of probably about 30 to 40 hours you're mm-hmm. looking at for your campaign in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that's just got this grind in it, just sort of extends that out. It should have really been like a 20 hour single player experience, and then you can
side quests.
Do your end game stuff after that. I felt like I've done well over 10 hours of grinding in this game for materials.
Well, dude, when you're grinding, like I'm only about 12 hours in, and
I was grinding at the 3 hour mark. Like that shouldn't be happening. Like one of the first boss fights, or one of that peri-peri thing.
Yeah.
Like that took me 2 goes, and that's like 2 hours, and I had to grind to get my a weapon to a place where it was okay to fight that thing. And I shouldn't be grinding in one of the first monsters, Like, it lead me into it. I don't mind grinding way down the end. 7 hours of grinding, like you said you're doing, that's a bit much, but for a story thing. But yeah, you want to have to build up to things.
Yeah.
And this one just throws you straight into it, and it's like pretty tough from the get-go. Like, yeah, because your weapons are pretty, they're pretty weak to start with.
Yep.
That
7 hours of grinding, it wasn't just grinding the one monster. I was just fighting heaps and heaps and heaps of different things.
Oh,
range of different materials, because in the weapon upgrade system, you can't actually see what materials you need until you find those materials for the first time.
Yeah,
it's just all question marks, which again is very frustrating, because it's like, okay, I want to make this bow because it looks like it's going to be a lot better than the one I've currently got. Okay, I need to kill the Toby Kodachi several times to get all the materials I need, but I won't know that until I've killed the Toby Kodachi once.
Mm.
And it's just little things like that, which target grinding on things. It's like, what's that last material I need? And it's just like a little symbol. It's like, it could be an ore piece. It could be this. I'm not really sure what I should be targeting to find this last bit. I don't want to jump online to find all these answers out.
Yeah, it should come organically to a certain extent. Like, and I think you, especially when you get further into the game, you're going to want to be hunting things down, but it does, the whole game is grind. Like, I feel like you're constantly grinding to keep going, and I'm not a fan of grinding. Like, I'm not a completist. I'm a finish the game, I'm roll those credits, and I'm out, onto the next one.
Well, I want to roll the credits for this review, and I'm 40 hours in now. Now, I'm near the end of the game, but I feel like I still got this last grind to go.
Well, the final monsters are going to be quite a grind in themselves, I feel.
Yeah. So. But anyway, in saying all that, let's give it our scores.
Yeah.
Because we should keep moving on with this episode.
Yep.
All right. What did you give this?
Well, look, I did enjoy the game. Like, and I whinging about the grinding of it all and the difficulty of it. But I found when you finally beat a monster, it is a great feeling. Like, I imagine it's almost like Dark Souls in terms of, like, it's hard, but when you beat it, it's such a win to you. And I don't want time limits. I don't want to grind. I don't want to do all that sort of stuff. So that brings it down. But the game is fun, and the monsters are great, and it looks great. So it's still a fairly solid game, and I'm going to give it a 7.2.
All right. For me, I first Monster Hunter game, so I didn't really know what to expect. Now that I've learnt what to expect, I am actually looking forward to another one of these eventually coming out, which I will play.
Yeah.
Again, the grind got a bit much. The fights are a bit too long. It looks really nice. It sounds great. The controls feel good when you find a weapon that you like.
Mm.
I know you had your issues with online. I felt the online was all right, and I've been having fun with that. In the end, I'm giving this an 8.6 out of 10.
Ooh, big score.
Big score. All right, guys, that was Monster Hunter World. No way. All right, guys, that brings us down now to the backtrack segment, the segment where we look at this week in gaming history.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
So, Fish, you don't know what I've got on the table here.
But you're looking at me like it's something really cool, so I'm excited.
I know. It was funny because you actually mentioned this game earlier in the podcast.
Oh, did I?
Yep, without even realizing it. So, on the 31st of January in 1997...
Gran Turismo?
No. No. An RPG was released that would change...
Final Fantasy VII?
Yes, Final Fantasy VII release.
Best game ever made!
Yep. So it was on, 31st January. That's why I had to check it a couple of times, because I'm like, January 31st? Like, what?
Yeah, it's a strange time.
Really strange time.
Man, that game was huge when it came out. I remember, because I was real into reading like PlayStation magazines and stuff then, and I just remember seeing the picture of Cloud standing in front of the headquarters in Midgar, and he's got the Buster Sword in his back, and I was like, what is this game? And everybody's raving about it, and people were... I still remember some guy writing in and being like, oh, I don't like RPGs, but... do you guys think I should play this game? And the one word answer was yes.
It's 21 years now since that game came out.
21 years. Yeah, oh my God. Nice way to make us feel old.
It was the 20th anniversary last year where I really thought they were going to launch the remake.
The remake, yeah.
And I thought, oh, it's all going to line up. What a brilliant marketing exercise, you know. 20th anniversary of this all-time great. Here's the remake that everyone's been screaming out for a decade or so now.
Is there a release date for that?
No,
we know. Is it still in the... Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see it this year as well. I just can't see it. Because they've got Kingdom Hearts in development too.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Square Enix, so it's all in this sort of probably same studio and stuff there.
Oh, my good God. Wasn't that a great game?
And it still stands
up. It does. I play it periodically. Like, I'll go back to it every couple of years.
Like, it's got a wonderful story. It's got a wonderful soundtrack. The gameplay is fun. The character progression's interesting. It's got one of the best villains gaming's ever seen.
Oh, Sephiroth.
And it's got a great cast of characters from, like, Vincent the Vampire to Red 13. Yeah. The sort of... like
dog and fire dog thing. Yeah, experiment. You got Tifa, you got
Aeris, Barret, which is like,
man, and panda. You get those feels in that game. Yeah. And you get those. I actually cried. I cried in that game several times. I'm not ashamed.
The FMVs back in the day were awesome. Like, they don't look that great now, but back then.
Yeah. I still remember, you know, back in the day, it was the war between PlayStation and 64. And there was the guys on the 64 were like, Zelda, Zelda, Zelda. And then there was the guys on PlayStation were always Final Fantasy. I remember having a guy come around and play Final Fantasy. And he was like, man, the backgrounds look good, but what's with these weird pixelated things walking around? I was like, you shut your mouth. Don't you dare say a bad thing about this game. I love this game so much that I actually want to call my son Cloud.
Wow.
I've stuck with that ever since that game came out. I was always like, I want to. I don't think I'll ever get to do it because I'm sure my girlfriend will have something to say about that. But I'm going to put a good argument across for that. Man, I love that game.
Such a good game. And I'm looking forward to this remake and see what it does.
I'm scared, man. I heard the fighting's different, isn't it?
Yes.
Like,
fighting is different. Yeah, I think that's going to turn off a lot of people. You know what I would have liked to have seen? The same fighting system, the same materia system, but, you know, with modern day Final Fantasy 15 like graphics, with the same soundtrack but reorchestrated.
Oh, such a good soundtrack too.
And voice acting.
Yeah.
And boom. Boom. There you go. That's
all you need to do.
That's all they need to do.
Like, the game's perfect.
Yeah. You don't need to change the battle system or the story or anything like that. You keep it as it
was. I hope the story doesn't change. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm obviously going to play the hell out of that game when it comes out, but I don't think you can beat the perfect thing that game. Like I said, it's my favorite game.
Absolutely fantastic. All right. And that was Backtrack this week. What a great freaking Backtrack that was to bring that one out.
That's perfect.
All right, on to our listener questions. And as always, Reef's sent one through. Might as well just call it Reef's question
now.
Because that's what it just freaking turns into. People, please send in your questions to our email address, which is gametrainpodcast@hotmail.com, or the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gametrainpodcast, or you can find us on Twitter @gametraintalk. Or on Instagram @GameTrainPodcast. There are so many different ways to contact us. Or just message Carl or myself. Or, you know, just, yeah.
Pick their brains, guys. Help. Pick them.
Send a plane up into the sky and just ride it in skywriting. <The cloud. laughs> You know, we don't mind. Just ask the questions anyway. So here's Reef's question this
week. What's he got?
Okay, he says, do you think we'll get the Pokemon RPG this year in time for Christmas on the Switch?
God, I hope so.
Short answer, I'll say probably not.
You reckon? You don't think so?
Long answer, I'll say I wish.
Yeah.
Because, man, when this thing drops, those Switch sales are going to go up.
And can we just say, how has it taken this long to make a Pokemon game like this?
Well, Pokemon's over 20 years old.
Yeah.
And ever since the first Pokemon game of Red and Blue that came out in the Game Boy, fans have been like, can we see this on
Let's see it
console?
On 64. Let's see it on the Switch.
We've had Pokemon Windows. Stadium. Yeah. We've had Pokken Tournament. We've had Pokemon Snap. We've had...
It's like offshoot games.
We've had Pokemon Colosseum, which was this strange RPG to deal with dark Pokemon and all this. It was almost it.
Why not just make it?
Just do it. And now they've seen the Switch and they've gone, right, it's handheld. I guess we can now put one on your home TVs. Everyone's hanging out for it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I really would love to see it this year, but we haven't even seen a screenshot of this game yet.
True, yeah.
But, as always, Nintendo like to hold their cards.
I was just going to say, like, when
their chest.
When, you know, E3 and that come out, like, that's usually when you're going to get these. Like, remember Fallout? Fallout 4 just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Todd Howard. Fallout 4, November. Hey!
Yeah, so I'm hoping something like that.
Well, Nintendo normally do a Nintendo Direct on Pokemon itself. So last year they did one on Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon around March or April. And they just announced Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon then, and it released in November.
Yeah.
Similar thing could happen this year. Nintendo might come out with one in April and go, right, Pokemon Switch comes out November.
I'm going to say they do. I'm going to say...
You're rolling the dice in that they do.
I'm going to roll that dice down. I'm going to gamble on that because I feel like if they... It needs to come out. It just needs to happen. It needs to happen soon. And I think it's going to be that case. It's going to be announced in April and come out in November.
I don't think we'll see it this year. I reckon we'll see it... I reckon March next year in Nintendo's launch window around there.
Righto.
Because maybe...
What else is big for the Switch this year?
Right. So they've got Yoshi, Kirby...
But the Pokemon's the big seller. Like, come on. Like you said, if that comes out, that's like Zelda again.
Yeah, well, see, they've also got Metroid Prime 4 in development too. Yeah, so that could be their big flagship one this year.
Yeah, okay.
So, look, it's between that and Pokemon. But the thing is, we've actually seen like a tiny 30-second trailer of Metroid Prime 4, which is pretty much the logo. Right, but that was more than the Pokemon, which is just when Pokemon's in development.
But Pokemon is like that Fallout thing. It's... You don't need advertising. You just say, Pokemon Switch, and then boom, we're buying it. And take my money.
They don't even need all 700 Pokemon. They could just do Red and Blue.
God, I'd love it just to be 150, yeah.
You know, I personally would just like to see up to Gold and Silver, the 250, I think is a nice amount for a first one, you know, because I still feel a bit limited by the 150.
Yeah, okay.
Because I always go to my go-tos on that one. And
yeah,
it's like,
Just
with the 250, it gives that
just
bit
opens
of,
it up.
Yeah. Bit of extra, and it gives you that extra sort of, what is it? Is it Johto and Kanto?
Yeah, Kanto, I think.
Yeah,
Johto.
It's the other one. Yeah, so it gives you the two regions to explore, and...
No, that's fair. Like, I just don't like it once it starts getting in, you know, what are we at now? Like
700, is it?
Is it only that?
Yeah, and people online like, are like, oh, well, I hope we see the new generation on Switch. No, I don't want...
They're just reiterations of the old ones anyway.
Yeah, you know what? Just remake Red and Blue connected with Gold and Silver into this big game. You've got 16 gyms. You've got two sets of Elite Four. You've got...
I'm so excited.
Yeah. You know, online trading with your friends.
Yeah, the online element might be cool. Do you think it would be like an open world sort of, you know, there are other trainers running around and you can just challenge them at the time? Like, can the Switch handle that?
I don't know. That's be cool. And again, it's going to come down to Nintendo's whole online thing, what they do with that. Because their online's all up in the air. But Reef... We're going to say, well, Dave says yes.
I'm saying yes, baby.
I'm saying no, not this year, but I would like to see it this year. But thank you for your question. And I can't wait for your next question next time, Reef. All right, guys, this is bringing us towards the end of this episode now. But as always, as we hit the end of the episode, we like to do the trains, which is the lame train, the love train, and the hype train. So kicking it off is the lame train. All right, Dave.
My lame train. Okay, well, I think it's super lame that we are not playing the new Ni No Kuni right now.
Oh, because it was supposed to come out.
It was originally a January release. I played a little bit of that at an anime supernova-esque sort of pop culture festival thing. And it was cool, man. Like, I love Ni No Kuni. Like, that original Ni No Kuni is one of the greatest games that was on PS3. I actually just went back and revisited it, so I was getting really hyped to play this new one, and now what's it coming out in March when a bunch of other games are coming out?
It's been delayed to the game week of March.
So, what else is coming out at that time?
Okay, so in the period of about 7 to 8 days, there is Kirby, there is Ni No Kuni 2, there is Yakuza 6, there is Far Cry 5, is A Way Out. There is Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Is that up to 4?
And Sea of Thieves. So that's 7 games in 8 days that are pretty much coming out. And it's just ridiculous.
Well, Ni No Kuni is my go-to. I'll get on that and probably Far Cry.
Yep. It's a big week.
What's your lame train?
So my lame train is... Carl and I made a bet last episode that Anthem would release this year. Reports are coming out. Now, it has not come out officially from EA, but Kotaku and GameSpot have written speculation pieces that it is being delayed from talking to people in studio.
Mm-hmm.
They've got sources in studio that it looks like it's being delayed to next year. EA still hasn't said it officially, but it's looking pretty close that it is going to be delayed, and I'll be giving Kyle $20. But it's not guaranteed yet, but it's my lame train because it looks like I'm going to have to do it, and he'll just sit there. He'll be sending me photos of this $20, like taking pictures of the $20 in Brisbane. I don't think he'll even spend it for a while. He'll just keep taking photos of $20 and sending me pictures.
Oh, rub it in, Kyle. Do it.
So nothing official from EA, but it's looking... very, very, very much now that if we had to be making the bet this week, I wouldn't have taken the bet because I'm pretty certain it's being delayed.
Damn.
But I don't have to give them the money until it's confirmed. It's
actually confirmed.
So I'm still holding on to my $20.
You gripped that 20.
Yeah. But yeah. All right. On to your love train. What have you loved?
Ooh, what have I loved lately? Well, I haven't been playing a whole heap, but I'd have to say I am loving... this Batman Telltale series.
Yep.
Like, good God. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, they've... like, I played a little bit of Telltale stuff. I played the Back to the Future one when I think it was one of its first ones, and it felt a bit clunky and a bit boring. And I know a lot of people that I've gone up to and spoke about this Batman game, they've been like, oh, I don't know, Telltale games, they're a bit slow. And I'm like, no, trust me. Like, this one is... it just feels like it moves along a lot better, and it's really smooth, and the story is awesome. So I'm loving that at the moment.
Nice. Mine is that there are no loot boxes in Monster Hunter World.
True that.
So many games are launching at the moment with loot boxes where you can get things from power-ups to hats to in-game currency. You know what? Loot boxes would work in this game, getting more materials and things like that. Mm. Items. No, there's just no loot boxes. And you know what? It's great.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like playing. It's just a random occurrence of items that could or could not be good for you. You know what I mean? And I hate that. I like to earn my stuff. Like, if you're grinding for 7 hours, you damn well better get that good bow. You know what I mean? It's not a luck thing. Like, oh, I hope this loot box gives me the item that I need to make this bow. I'm not a fan.
That was a great positive when I actually thought about it and went, wow, there are no loot boxes in this game. Mm. And you know what? Loot boxes could have easily intertwined them into that game.
I'm surprised it's not actually.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm loving this week. All right. Now, onto the hype train.
Hype train. Hype train. All right. Well, I have to say... it's the obvious one. I think everyone's hyped for is Red Dead. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to go down that route because I feel like you guys talk about it all the time. But Jurassic World Evolution. Oh my goodness. There's finally a game on this gen of console. I don't have to play it on my phone. I can build a Jurassic Park, a Jurassic World, and have a T-Rex. Yep. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
it's looking really cool. I'm thinking we'll probably get you back on the show for that episode.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah.
So hyped when it comes out. There's no release date yet, but...
Wasn't it supposed to be around mid?
I'm expecting June, July.
But yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because the movie comes out in June, the new Jurassic World. So then they'd be dumb not to release it around
then. But again, we can talk about people and their marketing ideas and just throw stuff out the window. You can never tell with these people. But yeah, the marketing... would make a load of sense to tie it in when the movie releases. You've got the hype around, you know, Jurassic World. You've got this game coming out. And it'd just be fun to build a park with
dinosaurs.
Have
you ever played any... Like, there is an iOS game, a Jurassic World one. And it's cool, but it's, again, with the... you know, those free play games where you have to actually pay to get anywhere. So it doesn't... It ends up being annoying. And I just want to... earn my dinosaurs, you know. Like,
let's hope for no loot boxes.
Yeah, we can only hope, but who knows?
Yeah, it's like, all right, guys, for you know, in your loot boxes, you might get a T-Rex pen.
Oh god, damn! I think the game will come out probably a couple of weeks before the movie.
Yeah,
as a hype to the movie.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Yeah, I'd get pretty excited about that. And it's just, I like sim building games, like building SimCity.
Yeah. I don't play
theme parks and stuff, so it's going to be kind of cool with the theme park with dinosaurs and things that can go wrong, like the T-Rex breaking out.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
The disasters in SimCity, so it should be fun.
Cool. Yeah, I'm hyped.
All right. My hype train is Shadow of the Colossus Remake. Mm. Now, I have started this game.
Yep.
I'm not very far. I'm very... Yeah, near the start of this, but Sony were kind enough to send me a advanced copy, which
Thanks, Sony.
And also, actually, I should mention that Capcom was kind enough to give a review copy for Monster Hunter as well. So, very thanks to Capcom for that. I should have actually mentioned that earlier in the review, but it slipped my mind. But Shadow of Colossus, I never played the original.
Mm.
And so, now that I'm sort of getting towards the end of Monster Hunter World, I'm going to put my time into the Shadow of Colossus. I'm pretty excited about delving into this game, which a lot of people said is an all-time PS2 classic.
Yeah, it is.
So this is a remake from the ground up, and from what I've seen so far...
It's not just a HD update?
No. They have rebuilt this game.
Oh, well, that interests me a bit more. Because I played a little bit of it on the PS2 days, and I liked it back then.
This is a gorgeous-looking game. It looks beautiful. So, that brings us to the end of the episode, which... funnily enough, the review next time is going to be Shadow of the Colossus.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Remake. So that's going to be that. Also, there will be another guest on the next episode because Carl will still be out of action.
Poor Carl.
But thank you, Dave, for coming in and lending your time to Game Train. We appreciate new people on the train.
Thank you for having me.
The Game Train family is now extended a bit further.
I'm part of the family.
And yeah, that's the episode this week. Thank you for tuning in. And any final words?
Keep on trucking, guys. You got to grind through those Monster Hunter things. You can do it. You can beat the T-Rex.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Be back in 2 weeks with another iteration of Game Train.